wonderful word indeed. Amen and amen. How wonderful is the Word of God. It's a great old book, and I thank God for it. Amen. I want to read one verse of Scripture this morning, 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John and chapter number 2. I want to read one verse that's found in verse number 25. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Whoa, what a grand promise that is indeed. What a blessing. This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And this life is in his Son. What a wonderful, wonderful verse of Scripture that is good news. That is like a drink of cold water to a thirsty soul. That's right. That's a wonderful word. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the morning hour, the good singing, Lord, the good fellowship I've enjoyed, the good Sunday school time. Thank you for your people and their presence. I do pray that you'd meet with us this morning, how we need divine grace, divine help and power. I pray for liberty, Lord. And you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I pray that you would breathe upon us this morning in this place, convicting our hearts of sin, that we might, Lord, confess it and forsake it, find mercy of the Lord, walking in upright spirit and honest heart, pleasing God in all things that we do. I pray for revival. I pray, Lord, you'd fill this church with the Spirit of the living God and help us, Lord, I pray, to walk in the power of God in our lives as we face daily circumstances and trials. I'd ask you now to give grace to the preacher. I need your divine help. I pray that you'd unctionize me for preaching, that you'd grant me the liberty and power that I need and the liberty in this place. And we'll thank you, Lord, and praise you for every soul that is saved and every life and family that's changed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse one more time. I keep forgetting that thing these days, Brother Robert. I knew the minute when I sounded off, I was on the wrong microphone. Amen. And I want to read that verse one more time in our hearing, where he says in verse 25, and this is the promise that God hath promised us, even eternal life. And I want to preach a little while this morning on the promise of life. On the promise of life. And I realize there's many ways and many outlines when you start preaching on eternal life that God's promised. There's many directions and different ways that you can go in. And many different points and truths in the Word of God concerning God's promise of eternal and everlasting life. And I realize there are those Arminians that would gainsay that. But nevertheless, let the Word of God stand true, and let every man be a liar. Amen. And he did say, this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And I'm grateful for that life. It starts at Calvary. Thank God that's where I got on, at the old rugged cross. That's where my life began. I don't believe that I was saved 20,000 years ago, amen, and just now realize it, or I don't believe I was saved 6,000 years ago and realize it back in 1970. I believe that is when I got saved by the grace of God. And until that point, I was a lost sinner on my way to hell, but God turned me around, and when he turned me around, he gave me life, and he not only gave me life, but he gave me eternal and everlasting life. And God said that he hath promised us. This is the promise of God. Didn't say one of the promises of God. This is the promise of God, even eternal life. Now, just like eternal death contains the essence of all evil, so eternal life contains the essence of all that is good. Thank God I'm glad that when God saved me, he gave me something good. In fact, it's unique. And if it's unique, you can't go beyond that. If something is unique, there's not something uniquer. Amen. That's right. Somebody said one time, said, you know how to catch a rabbit. And I said, how? And they said, you sneak up on him. Amen. So, but eternal life is something that is unique. And there's nothing else like it in all of this world. And it is the essence of all that is good. I'm glad, thank God, when God gave us life, He gave us that which is good. Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to have life? Isn't it good to have eternal life? It's good to know that if this life in the flesh was to end today, that we'd have a home in heaven immediately. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when you got saved, if you truly got in, you don't have to worry about losing it somewhere down the road. You can't lose that which is not yours. Eternal life and salvation is the Lord. He found me and He's not about. He knew where I was at when I was lost. How much more should He know where I'm at now that I've been found? Amen. And I'm going to tell you where we are. If we're saved, we are in the bosom of the Father. Amen. Unto God. That's right. Now, Jesus said in John, in fact, in creation, I want to say this. I missed this in my earlier points. I wrote it down here just a little this morning. But in creation, when God, everything when God created, it says that God saw it was good. And when He finally created man, the last thing that would be created, in the last verse, I believe, in that chapter, He said, and He saw that all things that He had created was good. And so what God's saying, I give life to man, and that's good. And in the eyes of God, it is good when He gives a sinner life. That's why He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and be saved, because it is a good thing. God knows life is good. You know life is good. I know life is good. It is the most precious commodity we have in this world is life. Thank God. I'm glad today I'm alive. I'm glad I'm alive twice. I'm glad God gave me physical life, but I'm glad God gave me a spiritual life. And with that spiritual life came eternal life. Thank God, I'm going to live forever in eternity with God. What a blessing that really is. Are you saved today? If you are, you've got something good. You've got life, and you've got that life more abundantly. The Bible said, and by the way, Jesus is the only giver of life. It's not in Allah. I don't believe in the Muslims' religion. And I don't believe in the Jehovah's Witness religion. And I don't believe in the Mormon religion. Amen. I don't believe in the Catholic religion. I believe in the religion of the Bible, which is a pure religion and undefiled before God. And there is a right kind of religion, and that religion is the religion that will save a man, and not only save a man, but will keep a man by the power of God. This is the promise that we have of Him, even eternal life. Amen. Thank be unto God. Now, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. I'm going to have to read a little bit here. Life in this verse is to be regarded in its widest possible latitude, including the whole of God's great salvation. Life here, the promise of eternal life here, includes everything in God's eternal salvation. Now, or God's great salvation. And it is a great salvation. And if I was to preach on every aspect of that salvation, we would be here for a long time. It includes provisions from the Lord. It includes protection from the Lord. It includes the power of the Holy Ghost. It includes all the benefits, all the blessings, amen, that comes along with that. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, there are so many good things about this salvation that if we were to try to number them all this morning, we'd be here for a long time. We're not going to get that job done. But it does include all of God's great salvation. It is being instated in His favor forever. Now, you need to get a hold of that. Salvation, eternal salvation, is being instated in God's favor forever. Somebody said, well, what if I sin? Well, you don't lose your salvation. You may lose fellowship with God, but you're still in favor with Him. Amen.
What about that? That you and I have found favor in the eyes of the Lord. In that He graced us with life. And not only graced us with life, He graced us with eternal and everlasting life. Amen. It didn't shock God when you come out of your mother's womb. And it did not surprise God when you come out of the Holy Ghost womb. I'll guarantee you on that. Somebody say amen right there. Nothing's ever taken God by surprise, ladies and gentlemen. Has ever occurred to you? Nothing's ever occurred to God. And God knew what we were before God ever saved us. I'm glad, thank God, He realized we were sinners, undeserving of His love, undeserving of His light, undeserving of His life. But God came and gave us that great, everlasting, and eternal life. Amen. That is exactly right. Now, you stay right with me. It consists of a satisfying knowledge of the conforming of the soul to the image of His Son. Let me ask you, if you've got eternal life this morning, you have no problem with God's workings on you. And sometimes those workings, falling off the rough edges, are not as really as pleasant as what we would think they ought to be. But God will lead us through trials. God will lead us through troubles. God will lead us through the fire and through the water and through the flood. God will lead us through famine and through the desert and through wilderness and hard times. Amen. God will see to it that trouble comes your way, that you might be conformed to the image of Christ. But I'm telling you, it is a blessed thing and a wonderful thing to know that in this great eternal salvation, that God is conforming us to the image of His Son.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody going to help me, or are we all just going to sit here now? Now, as we come to consider the form in which this blessing is announced, namely by the Father's promise, it is more than a purpose. Stay with me. This promise is more than a purpose. It is more than a doctrinal declaration. It is more than a prophetic prediction. His eternal purpose is something hid in Himself. His doctrinal declaration is a matter of making known to us the divine purpose, our will of God. A prophecy is foretelling of things yet to be and making certain that which is evil or that which is good. But a promise concerns only, come on now, a promise concerns only that which is good. Amen. And God knew in His prophecies, He prophesied some things that are not good. And that happened to the nation of Israel and will happen to us. But in God's promises, in Him is all yea and there is no nay. The promise of eternal and everlasting life is good. It's all good. There's nothing bad about it. It's all good and wonderful to you and I. Hallelujah. Now, moreover, the accomplishment of prophecy is dependent upon God's power and veracity. But making good of His promise is secured by His faithfulness and His righteousness. Amen and thanks be unto God. I'm glad that we serve a faithful God. Amen. He's what God says, God means. And what God means, God says. Now notice what He said in the book of Titus. I'm going to show you some, read a verse that you're familiar with in Titus chapter 1. It says in chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I'm going to tell you, back before the world ever was, a triune God had sat down in wise counsel. Amen. And in His own wisdom, He designed our way of salvation. He didn't ask nobody how to do it. He didn't get counsel from nobody else. But in the counsel of that divine triune Godhead, the Son said, I'll go and die. The Holy Ghost said, I'll go and convict, convert, and comfort. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, I'll go as the living word. And God said, I'll give them a written word, amen, that will inform them about everything about God that they need to know. Hallelujah. Bless His wonderful name. God, that's right. God promised before the foundation of the world. Amen. Eternal. Now, come on. That doesn't matter. Somebody said, well, you're a Calvinist. Well, if I am, God is. Because God said He promised eternal life before the foundation of the world. Amen. He didn't say predestinated. He just said that He promised. Amen. He promised. And that promise is to those that believe. Amen. That promise is to those that have trusted in Him. That promises to those that have repented of their sins. Thank God, I'm glad that we have the promise of life in Him, and it is eternal and everlasting. Now, stay right with me. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says this, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. Now remember, I'm talking about the triune God. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Notice here, the promise of eternal life is bound to us by a threefold cord. The Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. The Father promised the Son. John 3:16, now there's the promise. John promised the Son, for God so loved the world. Somebody said, that's pretty simple, it's over our head. For God so loved the world that He gave. His love prompted Him to give. And what did He give? That He gave His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank God, I'm glad that God promised us His Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, and here's the third, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Buddy, there ain't no corruption. I'm telling you, we've been salted with the salt of heaven. There's no corruption, no putrefaction going to ever corrupt our salvation that we have. Our soul is eternally saved, and the body has the promise of redemption. We have got the promise of eternal life. Amen. That's right. Is anybody listening at all? The Father promised the Son, and then the Son promised the sacrifice. He said in John 3:14-15, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. There in the book of Numbers, when those serpents bit the people of Israel, God told Moses to make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole. And any time a person, it says man, but it means man or woman, is bitten by a serpent, if they will look upon that pole, they shall recover. They shall be made whole. Look and live. Hallelujah. That is exactly right. And Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now I'm telling you, that serpent that bit them is a type of sin, ladies and gentlemen. Come on in the house. And God's eternal life has saved us from a life of sin. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is what? What I'm preaching on. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I'm here to tell you, thank God, I'm glad the Son provided the sacrifice. As Moses lifted up that serpent, there came a day when God said, I'll give my Son. And the Son said, I'll provide a sacrifice. And if I be lifted up, whosoever looketh upon me and believeth upon me shall be saved from their sin. Amen. Somebody said, I ain't never been bitten by sin. Liar, liar, and your pants is on fire. Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Ain't a person in this room wasn't a sinner at one time or another in their life. Amen. Say amen right there. Hallelujah. Amen. So the Father promised the Son, and the Son promised the sacrifice, but the Spirit promised the seal. In Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There is a threefold cord. We have the Son, we have the sacrifice, we have the seal. Thank God there's a threefold cord. Now I'm telling you, it cannot be broken. All the imps of hell can't break it. The devil of hell can't break it. All the fallen angels can't break it. All the demonic influence in the world can't break it. All the troubles and trials can't break it. Tribulation can't break it. Thank God we're saved by a threefold cord. And that threefold cord grants us eternal and everlasting life. And it's been promised us by the Father. Here is the promise of God. Amen. Even eternal and everlasting life. And I'm telling you, that threefold cord is not going to be broken. Amen. Who can get by the Son? What offender can get through the Son and His blood that was shed? Huh? What adversary can come through the sacrifice that He made for us? And what power can break the seal of the Holy Ghost upon us? It's stronger than a padlock, I'll guarantee you on that. Amen. He is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Thanks be unto God. I'm glad there's a threefold cord in the Son and in the sacrifice and in the seal of the Holy Ghost upon us. Now I'm telling you, that is the Godhead, the triune Godhead. And that oneness crowd can take that and take it for what it's worth. We serve a triune Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And they all had a work in your salvation. The Father made the counsel, the Son came, and the Holy Ghost carried it out in your life. And He's still carrying it out in your life. That seal is still working, still holding, and the Holy Ghost is still operating in your life. Amen. Thank God. If you've ever been saved, you've got somebody working on the inside of you. Amen. Every now and then He ought to break out. Some of you ought to let Him break out this morning. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Some of y'all in here wearing coats, you'd get up and take about five laps. You'd get that coat off. Amen right there. Hallelujah. If you'd stop and think what God's done for you and what God's given you, you're not going to hell. If you're saved, you can't go to hell. You won't go to hell. Somebody said, well, if you sin, you'll go to hell. But the Holy Ghost will see to it that by that seal that you're not going to hell. Amen. Hallelujah. Now stay right with me. The assurance. There ought to be an assurance of this eternal life. Some things that gives us an assurance. I won't say we're eternally saved. Number one, because of His seed that is within us. Hallelujah. And I'm in a mixed crowd, and I cannot define totally what that word means. But I'm telling you, it is a wonderful, wonderful word that gives us an assurance of eternal and everlasting life. The Bible said in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. I'm telling you that, and I've said, preach this till I'm blue in the face, that there is an inner man in all of us, if saved by the grace of God, that cannot sin. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I'm telling you, that saved man, if it was possible for that regenerate man on the inside, woo! That regenerate man on the inside, if it were possible for it to sin, somebody said, what sin? Any sin. Amen. that would cause you to lose. Because if you've committed sin in one part, you have sinned in all, God said. It don't take a plurality of sins, just sin, that's all. But thank God there's a seed in us, and we cannot sin because His seed remaineth in us. That is right. Now I know I've got this body and it's capable of it. But there's a new man on the inside. Hallelujah. His seed. Now I'd like to tell you everything that seed means. But I can't because of a mixed crowd. But you can let your imagination run just a little bit. And it won't take much of imagination for you to know exactly what that word is.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Anybody wants to know, I'll tell you at the service, any of you men. But I can say this. It's seed as though it had been sown. Thus producing an offspring. When you sow seed in the ground, it produces an offspring. If I sow a little corn, a little grain of corn in the ground, it's got an offspring. And that offspring is the corn stalk. Amen, with corn on it.
Amen.
Now I'm here to tell you, when God sows the seed in His seed, His seed. I didn't say the seed of the Word of God. I said His seed. When God sows His seed in us, thank God, it produces an offspring. Oh, thank God. I wish I could go into detail, but I'm glad, thank God, that I'm an offspring. I am an offspring of Almighty God. And therefore I have eternal and everlasting life. I'm one of His youngins, one of His children, been born into the family of God. God is my Father. Hallelujah to God. That's right. And that word remaineth means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy.
Amen.
His seed stays there.
Yes.
Well, you know, I know that God won't take us out of His hand. What some of them say. But we can take ourselves out of God's hand. That Bible just says His seed remaineth in us.
Right.
And we cannot sin. Why? Because we're born of God. I'm talking about eternal life. Come on in the house. Some of y'all get a hold of the fact that you're for sure that you're really going to heaven. I'm telling you, I believe you'd get plumb excited about it. Amen. I believe you'd get stirred up about it. If you knew that His seed was in you and that it remains in you because you're born of God. Amen to God. That's right. Let me put it this way. Now, some of you are going to get the wrong idea here, but I'm going to say it anyway. He never aborts one of His babies. God doesn't believe in abortion. Say amen right there. I'll guarantee you once that seed's planted, buddy, she's going to come up. She's going to come up. There's going to be fruit from that little seed. Somebody say amen right there. Thank God. Amen. His seed remaineth in us. I've got three children. And my seed is in all three of them. Now, how are they ever going to change that? They're a hull, buddy. They can like it or lump it. That's what they are. And they're my children. Now, I'm going to tell you why they are. Because my seed remaineth in them.
Right.
Amen. Somebody say amen right there. God's seed. Woo. Hallelujah. When the Holy Ghost overshadowed that virgin, that blessed thing that was conceived in her was of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you that is a pattern for eternal life for us. That seed, the Holy Ghost, overshadowed us, convicted us, and converted us, and by the way, took up residence in us. Hallelujah to God. Therefore, we have eternal and everlasting life. What an assurance. Because His seed remains in us. Number two, because His Scriptures remain within us. I like it. Matthew 13, the parable of the sower. It says that sower said that sower went forth to sow. And some, now notice this, some fell by the wayside. Some fell up on stony ground. Some fell among. So you have by, upon, and among. But other fell into. Into. Just not in, into. Into good ground. And brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying being born again. Not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And when God sowed that seed that I was talking about a minute ago, it did not fall upon stony ground. Or it did not fall by the wayside. Or it did not fall among thorns. But it fell into. I mean, it fell into. You know, I'm about ready to throw myself in. You know why it did? Because the Holy Ghost had been in there. Plant your heart with the Word of God. Break it up, that fallow ground, and plant in your heart. And when the preacher come along and sowed that seed, it fell into the ground. Why? Because the ground was broken up. You got to break up ground before you put a seed in it. Brother Robert, you still plant a garden? You just go out there in the spring and just throw seed down on top of the ground. You break her up, don't you? So that seed can fall into that ground. Now, amen to God. Oh, yes, that's right. What an assurance. We've got the Word of God written and engraved upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. What the Bible says. Woo, can y'all help me this morning? Praise God, if you'd help Brother Hall, I believe I have a spell up here. Hallelujah. To know that His seed is in us. To know that His Word hath fell into not bad ground, good ground. And what made it good? The workings of God upon us. The convicting power of the Spirit of God. The plowing of His Word. Amen. And then the sowing of that good seed. Woo! Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you what the problem is today. Well, that 1, 2, 3 crowd. All you got to do is say a prayer. And the heart has never been prepared. Man has never sown a garden or a field, a crop, without breaking up, without preparing the soil first. Now you call me whatever you want to. But I don't believe in this screen door religion. I don't believe in 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. But I believe folks need to sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost tear up their heart. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah to God. Break her up. Get some. You know what happens when you break up soil? You get moisture to the top. Woo! Ain't that right? When the Holy Ghost breaks up the fallow ground of the heart. He brings a little moisture to the top, which is the Holy Ghost, and plants that seed into that soil. And the moisture of the Holy Ghost and the seed that's been planted there, it sprouts, amen to God. Woo! It begins in the heart of man. I'm telling you, it begins in the heart of man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I got to hurry. Another assurance, because the Son is within us. Not only the seed, the Scriptures, but the Son is within us. Colossians 1:27, for whom God would make known in the riches of the glory of His majesty among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. May I say there is a second threefold cord that cannot be broken. That first threefold cord is the Son, the sacrifice, and the seal. The second is the seal, the Scriptures, and the Son. and a threefold cord can't be broken. And they're all three.
Amen.
They're all three in us.
Amen.
I just happened to think of something. That's the Godhead living in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's all of God. That's how. Whoa. Tell me how somebody as big as God crawled down in the heart of a little old man like me. I don't know it. When the heavens of heavens cannot contain Him, but yet He can get into the heart of a man or a woman and dwell there by faith. Hallelujah. I don't understand it, but I believe it because the Bible said so. And that gives me great assurance. Amen. That I've got eternal and everlasting life. Praise Him. Wonderful thing. Woo! Had somebody back here in the ministry. Help me out a little bit. Amen. I can't even be good to y'all and get a grunt out of you. Now, not only the assurance of that eternal salvation, but the abundance of eternal life. What a blessing. Now, I want you to notice this. Listen carefully. He said in Habakkuk 3:17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That paints a pretty bleak picture. I mean, there ain't nothing going on there, boy. This guy's in a bind. Sounds to me like Job. Lost everything that he had.
Amen.
But the rest of that verse says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
And will joy in the Lord of my salvation. Now here's a man that had nothing. And he said, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. You know why?
Amen.
Note this. One might say that this doesn't sound like someone who is enjoying an abundant life, because there is nothing here in abundance. And I want you to listen carefully to what I'm getting ready to tell you. The Lord said, life does not consist of the things which we possess. Now I'm telling you, that's where we've gotten off track. We want the assurance of that life, and we got it. And we want the abundance of life, but we've gotten the idea that an abundant life is in the things that we possess in this world, but God said that it's not in the things that we possess. Do you want me to tell you how to have an abundant life? Number one, you can have an abundant life, is found in what you give away. It's found in what you give. Somebody said, preacher, you've done went off the deep end. Oh, no. Psalm 37, verse 21 says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth.
Amen.
And giveth. You want to have an abundant life? Learn how to give.
Amen.
The Lord died, gave His life, gave His back to the smiters. But it was for the joy that was set before Him. That He endured the cross, despised the shame. For God so loved the world that He gave. I'm telling you right there, ladies and gentlemen, there's your abundant life. Learn to give. Learn to give of your money. Learn to give of your time. Learn to give of your talents. Learn to give of yourself. You will never have an abundant life. Come on now and enjoy an eternal life unless you learn how to give. Man, you say money around here and y'all just scringe. We try to have something around the church and we don't have enough money for gas. But we don't have no problem going to the Walmart. We have any problem going yard selling and shopping. Come on now. I'm talking about learning to give. Somebody said, I don't have it to give. Maybe that's why you don't have it. You've never learned to give. Now, I know this don't sound well, but I really don't care. What if God would have sent His Son in the world, said, "Now I'm going to give my Son," and Jesus has stood there and said, stingy gut, I give up. I'm not doing it. I can't give it." He gave. God gave. The Son gave. That's right. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For whatsoever measure you meet, it shall be measured to you withal again. God loveth a cheerful giver. And he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. That is a promise of abundant life.
Amen.
It ain't praying time. It ain't time to look down. We're still preaching. Learn to give. Some of you men learn to give a little bit of your time. Come in here and cut the grass. Work around the building. We've got full windows sitting back there in that room I bought to put in out here 3 or 4 years ago, and we still got them. Now, somebody said, "I knew he'd get off on something." It's only right. You'll never be any happier than you are giving and doing something. I'm telling you, once it's over, you'll feel so much better on the inside that you gave.
Amen.
May I say number two, abundant life is not only in what we give, but an abundant life is found in what we gain. Somebody said, "Preacher, you're crazy. You just said give, now you say gain." Oh, no. Listen to my verse. Matthew 6:19, verse number 20 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth." But verse 20 says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal." And so there's your gain. And the only way you'll gain is by giving. Woo! Hallelujah! Ain't we a having fun? Learn to give, and God will give you gain. You can lay up treasures in heaven. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be also. Now I'm telling you, this world's not my home. I've got a place up yonder. I want to lay up all I can over on the other side. I want to give that I might gain and have an abundant life. Because I'm telling you, this world is just, we're just passing through. That real eternal life is laid up on the other side. Yes, it started at Calvary, but praise God, we're not going to stay there. We're going to a better place someday where there's a street of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Amen. Neither be sun nor moon nor light. Be no temple therein, for the Son of God will be all in all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's His wonderful name. And so, you give to gain. So if you don't give, you're never going to gain. If you don't give, you'll never have an abundant life, because you'll never gain and you'll never have an abundant life. Now, thirdly, well, Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, abundant life is also found in what we gather.
Amen.
What we give, what we gain, and what we gather. Luke 11:23, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth."
Yes, sir.
Now are we gathers?
Amen.
I'm fixing to bust your little bubble.
Because
you think that I'm going to say gathering means to go out and be a soul winner and gather people in. That ain't at all what that verse is talking about. He that gathereth with me. Let me ask you something. Where is he at this morning? He that gathereth with me. In other words, he that comes together where I'm at.
Right.
Amen.
And he is in the house of God.
Amen.
And if you're not gathered here, you're scattered out there.
Amen.
like sheep having no shepherd.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, there's an abundant life found in gathering with Him.
Amen.
In the house of God. I'd rather be here this morning than where I know.
Amen.
I feel at home in my Father's house.
Amen.
Kick your shoes off and set a spell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Gather together with Jesus.
Amen.
Let it sit down at His feet. Let Him tell us all the wonderful words of life.
Amen.
Let us sing unto His name.
Amen.
Let us praise Him for His grace and power. Let us exalt Him because of His mercy.
Amen.
Because His mercy endures to all generations.
Amen.
And His love goes out to all the world. And His grace is provided for sinners. And He's given us a house of God to meet with Him in. The great God of heaven has chosen to meet on earth in a house made by man, that man might go to heaven and meet in a house made by God. Woo! Hallelujah! I just come across that one, thank God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Gather together with Him. Now one more point. The assurance of eternal life, the abundance of eternal life. And I hate to... By the way, that's another threefold card. Give, give, gain, gather. And it's not going to be broken too quickly. Now I hate to even preach this one. Really I do. But there's the absence of eternal life. Those that have never been to the cross. Those that have never been saved. They're void of anything I preached about this morning. They have no life. I've heard preachers tell people, you need to get a life. I'm glad I got one. And it's in Him. And I'm here to tell you, there's those that are absent of eternal life. They're dead.
Amen.
There's no seed.
All right.
There's no scripture.
Amen.
There's no seal.
Amen.
There's no giving.
Right.
There's no gaining. There's no gathering. They're dead in their trespasses and sin.
Right. Yes,
dead.
Yes,
not alive.
Amen.
His seed remaineth in us. Because we are born again.
Amen.
That's right. You may think it's a kind of a laughing matter now, but I'm telling you, friend, one of these days when the
Amen.
Gates of hell swings wide and you're received into eternal and everlasting darkness,
Amen.
It'll change your tune. Your laughing days will come to a halt. And you would to God that you listen to Brother Hall. You would to God you listen. For I fear there's some of you in here that are dead.
Yeah.
Why do you say that, Brother Hall? Because you've shown no signs of life.
Amen.
That which is living grows.
Amen.
Deceived. By Satan.
Amen.
But if any be lost, it is because the God of this world hath blinded their eyes.
Amen.
Lest they should believe the gospel, the glorious gospel.
Amen.
Be saved if you believe the gospel.
Amen.
Do you have assurance of eternal life today? Do you know for sure if you died right now you'd go to heaven?
Amen.
Do you have an abundance of life? Are you really enjoying life? I mean, just really enjoying. When I say enjoying life, are you enjoying Christ?
Amen.
Because if I say enjoying life, you may think of the life of this world. I'm not talking about the life of this world.
Amen.
I'm talking about enjoying Christ. And then those that are absent of eternal life are doomed and sentenced. He that believeth on the Son hath life.
Amen.
But he that believeth not the Son shall not
see life.
Amen.
But the wrath of God abideth on him. I plead for your soul today to do business with God. And this is the promise that He has promised us, even eternal life.
Amen.
You have eternal life? Saved? Or are you dead, deceived, and doomed? I hope you're saved by the marvelous grace of our God.
Amen.
Let's all stand together.